we can just do a, you know, a live feed to see how all the wires are working and everything's going.
Yeah, I'll be setting up at 7, so okay. Maybe we can have somebody yeah. Look in and make sure everything's yeah. Going good.
Okay, the regional legislative updates. With other things that we've had, I haven't set those dates yet. Tyson and I are going to sit down and get those, set the dates, so it will be a little bit later this year. Once again, the AG's office is going to be traveling with us. Tyson is going to have some training that we'll do on the back end, but we plan on making it a good quality time that we spend on the road with our officers. There was some talk that since we're holding, you know, spring conference in the past, because, you know, spring conference has been here in Salt Lake County, we haven't done a legislative update for officers here in Salt Lake County because a lot of them attended. And so we had talked about, since we're going to Logan, you know, those officers up there have the opportunity to come to Logan, but that's not been the case. Maryland, last check, we only have 2 police officers that have signed up to come, which, I mean, I knew that we wouldn't get a lot of police officers.
Did you get all of them up there?
No, none of them. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Both of them.
Both. Sorry.
They're all unified police officers. Yeah. They're not even Logan City.
So, I guess I'm just looking at, would the council want us to still do our normal case regional, or not case law, legislative updates, you know, in Logan, Cache County, Box Elder County?
I think so. Just charge them more this time.
Okay. Let's see. A penny? Yeah. A penny would be more. Okay. All right. Then we'll do that. But like I said, Tyson and I are going to be working on getting that set.
Who's traveling with you, Bob?
It's normally Tyson and I. You know, in the past, you guys have been really busy. But if, you know, one of you are interested. Oh, you mean besides the regional information?
No, that was the question.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you're interested in going, because there may be some times. Will, are you?
I may be. Maybe okay. You want to wait until after Friday to decide.
Yeah. Okay, I'll get with you afterwards and all see right. You. Okay. Okay, any other questions then on? All right. Let's see, UPA conference is June 21st and 23rd. I'll let Haley talk about that when we get down to their report. Fossils, Footprints, and the Bones of What We Do. That's a little catchy title. I've looked at the agenda. It's going to be great, but I don't want to steal her thunder. The OOMPA conference is scheduled for August 3rd and 4th in St. George. Their agenda, or proposed agenda, is in your materials. And then we've also planned for basic prosecutor in August, up again, University Inn at Logan. So if anybody has any specific questions about those conferences, let me know, but it's all should be all in there. Let's see. At our last meeting, I told you that the bar had raised the processing fee for the CLE. That was a typo on my part. And so we will not be raising the cost of the conferences like we had talked about, so you don't need to worry about that. And that takes us to the financial report. It's not as current. Maryland got some additional information last week. I was going to print it for you this morning, but I was locked out of my computer. I had to go up to the AG's office and have them fix it, but I wasn't able to update the budget comparison report. I'm jumping ahead. The surcharge report is there, so you can see what the last 3 months have been, and then the budget comparison report. Really, the one thing of note is that SWAP did reimburse UPC for the cost of civil conference this last fall in the amount of $12,545.31, so we appreciate that. So unless anybody has any specific questions about the budget.
Well, and looking at the surcharge report, the comparison there, I think, is helpful. The fact that our comparative months from the prior year, each one of them have gone down and a significant amount. I mean, I would hate to use a four-letter word like JRI, but I mean, you know.
Right. And that, you know, that is a concern. We're
JRI
not.
A three-letter word?
I can't count that high. Sorry.
It's a four-letter word sentence.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not overly concerned about the budget. I mean, if we were strictly limited to, you know, income from the surcharge, yes, we would be concerned. But we've got, you know, with the conference and registration fees that come in, and some other things that we have, I think the budget is in a good place. Of course, next month with the end of the fiscal year, and then the fiscal FY18 budget year, you know, we'll address that. But I think we're doing well despite that our surcharge is down, but you know, if it jumps substantially, then we could start getting into some problematic areas.
Okay. Any questions on either the surcharge report or the budget report from anybody? Okay. Move on to the training committee report. It's hard to report on a meeting that I didn't attend. Another conflict in the schedule. I think it's the first one I've missed in about a decade, but anyway. We reviewed the last conferences. Everything seems to be going well. Bob's talked about the budget, some of the training schedule we have. Our fall conference is going to be at the St. George Hilton Garden Inn, October 4th through the 6th. It coincides with the judicial conference. Again, it's later than it normally has been. Please set those dates aside so we can have a great attendance at that one. Government civil practice is also going to be in St. George near the end of October. They liked it so much there last year, they're going back again. That's where they had it last year. Yeah. Then the executive seminar will be at the Dixie Center again in St. George in the middle of November. Some of the other training that was discussed is we wanted to do a domestic violence boot camp again, and so we were looking for some time and ability to put that as whether it's a separate conference or in conjunction with some of the other things that we're doing. Expert witnesses in DV cases. It looks like we're working with the Salt Lake DA's office for a conference in that in September, early September. I also wanted to do the Title III training, I think, in conjunction with the DA's office. I don't see Mr. Hamp here, but I think that's part of what that was going to be discussed. I don't recall what determination was made with regard to the civil emergency disaster law.
I think that was just going to be folded into a fall conference.
Okay. All right. You know, and I don't know how many of you had your offices participate in the Great Utah Shakeout, but it is kind of interesting to contemplate that something like that happens, how your day-to-day operation is going to continue and coordinating with the courts. We found that to be interesting in working with the district court that's in Layton. Their plans were markedly different than what ours were, and so nothing would have worked. So we're trying to get on the same page there. So hopefully you've been working with the courts as well as your office and your employees. Bob talked about the regional training. We continue to talk about the distance learning and trying to have some specific topics or even some general topics that we can have those in the far reaches of the state participate in. 2018 Spring Conference, we already have a contract for April 26 through 27. Nice job. We're back in Salt Lake, correct?
Yeah.
All right. With the Sheraton, fall of 18. First choice was the Provo Convention Center, then the Moab Valley Inn, and then the new Marriott that will be in Moab by then as a third choice. And those are the committee recommendations. I don't think the council's voted on that yet.
No, for me to be able to follow up, I need to have a go ahead on those recommendations.
And then we plan on again doing the advanced trial skill course and the Top Gun training for the train the train refresher. And so I don't know if we've got that elsewhere on the agenda, but with regard to a fall preference for the fall of 2018. Again, those are simply recommendations from the training committee, Provo, Moab, and Moab. Moab South and Moab North, right?
There's a new convention center being built in Moab, just as you come into town. It's by where the Fairfield is. And so it's depending on, you know, how the pricing goes, it could be in competition with the Moab Valley Inn. So it's kind of either or and availability. So.
Well, and explain your working relationship with Marriott and whether that how that will help if at all.
Well, we have a good relationship with them down there. It just depends on their pricing. That time of year, October, they may go with the state prices, or they may not. It's brand new, so they might be willing to let us be the first ones there. But
how soon will they let us book that?
They should be done this fall. So they'll be done in 2017.
they don't anticipate doing any booking prior to their completion of the building?
That I'm not sure of.
Okay. Say if we get ahead of the game, that might be a possibility.
They're probably looking to start filling up their calendar. I think they would probably welcome that.
What if you got, can you ask for multi-year pricing?
I could, but they...
let me just throw this out is we didn't get this on here, and I just thought about it now, is OMPA, what they're going to propose to their membership at their conference this year is moving their conference into the off-season, meaning that, so when does it start, November 1st? So November 1st through March is when they go back down, you know, Moab, Zion, all those, Bryce is still willing to work with us, but some of the destination places. And so I don't know if that's something that you all want to consider, maybe for fall conference, but that's something that OMPA is going to consider. But that's really the only viable way that we're going to get state rates at the destination locations.
Some of them will tell me that the end of October, so October 31st is the cutoff date, and then November 1st is off season. Some of them will say, well, we can give you the state rates that last week of October.
So the offset there, obviously, is we always try to schedule the fall conference during the judicial conference, right, so that our right. attendance can be better. And so that's the offset. If it's during that time and they don't move theirs, then...
Yeah.
But it's just indicative that, you know, hotel prices are going up, that the state rate just is not able to keep up with it. I can negotiate... try and negotiate as low a price as I can that's above the state rate. And I think we've had that conversation before. What's your number? What's your price and or your budget? And maybe I can speak to that when I start negotiating contracts or, you know, checking around.
In that same vein, you might be able to throw in OMPA as a negotiating tactic. If they are going to move it to say, like to Moab, say, we'll come in October and bring a second conference in November, if you'll give us pricing on that, better pricing.
Sometimes it matters to them, sometimes it doesn't. Springdale,
yeah.
they don't care because they bring them in by the busloads. So yeah.
That's just the reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a direction from the council as far as fall of 2018.
Are you talking about all the conferences, or you're saying the fall conference, but then you're saying October, which is usually civil conference?
Just for the civil folks decide their location generally on their own, so this would be for our fall, for UPC's fall.
Remember last year, we moved it to October, so I don't know if...
Okay. I don't remember that.
Because this year, it's also...
It's always been in September, but the judicial conference moved to October, so last year we bumped to October, which made October crazy. And so, again, if we want to stay with the judicial conference, then we'd be going, it looks like they're going to be in October for the foreseeable future.
And I don't know if it matters much, but as far as budgeting goes, we usually will budget for travel for one fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so this one, although it's a different fiscal year for us, it's the travel in this annual year. We may not be sending as many people to the next conference. I don't know if that matters. You're booking for this fall,
yeah. Okay.
Just because we're sending a lot of people to Lake Logan.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So those that didn't go to Logan would have the opportunity to go
right
do the travel, but we would have the authorized to or have the funding mm-hmm. for double travel.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Just as a heads up, so yeah. I don't know, smaller location gives you a better price.
It does, yeah.
Mr. Ferris, who's under the guise of Mr. Foot.
Incognito.
There you go.
I like the idea of leaving November for our USIP conference that we have for county officials, and so if we bumped our fall conference that far, it makes November just too busy with the holiday and stuff. So I would just like to stay away from November for a civil conference. I like the idea of tracking the judicial conference as well.
For fall conference, you mean?
I do. Sorry. Yeah.
You're talking
about November, USIP or UAC?
Or UAC,
right. Yeah. And let me just clarify, Jan, it wouldn't have to be in November. It would just, what OMPA's looking at is just that off-season time slot. I mean, you could go with January, you could go with February, so it doesn't have to be November.
As long as we have November, I think.
Yeah.
Motion on fall of 2018 for our annual fall conference. Location, please.
Suggestions were Provo or Moab?
And Moab North, Moab South.
Kauai.
It's a huge city, so you
might get lost.
Kauai.
It's Utah South.
Yeah.
Southwest. Can we narrow down to Moab at this point?
That's up to the council, however it is you want to handle this.
I moved to narrow it to Moab. I'm not sure. I would second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second to narrow the selections to Moab North, Moab South. Any discussion on that motion?
We had to leave it open to Bob and Marilyn to pick whichever one works out.
Price-wise.
Yeah.
I guess I amended motion to leave the discretion to receive to determine price.
Okay, whether it's north or south.
Whether it's south.
Except that as
yes.
All right.
Question. So if it's if they don't honor this state rate, which is $90, I think in Moab, and it's $109, or I can what is your magic number? What's
in terms of how much you're willing to spend on a room?
Well, has there been a breaking point in the past where you've seen a difference in attendance?
Well, for instance, we had a discussion about Springdale. They're $189. They're not going down, so.
I mean, if you're telling me the state rate is 90, I would say you have to plan, for us, probably up to 110.
110?
Yeah.
15-20%.
What's the highest state rate around?
I think she's just asking as a clarification whether she has the range as she negotiates up to that point, right?
Yes.
Are we limiting, I guess the question is, are we limiting you? No, it has to be the state rate, I guess.
No, it doesn't limit me, but I just have to do more paperwork and I have to get more approval, so.
Yeah.
So the motion right now on the floor is that our selection is Moab. Any discussion on it being Moab? If not, all in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, and then any additional direction that the council would like to give staff as they focus on Moab? We have that guideline.
I guess I would say that, of course, we want to negotiate, direction would be to negotiate for the state rate, but with the flexibility to go up to another $20 more.
Yeah, what's the highest state rate currently in the state, different locations?
Highest? Salt Lake is 100. It's not over 100. So if you want to go to Moab for sure, most likely if it's available would be Moab Valiant. If you want to go to the new place, which I will call there and try and get that first, that's where I'm going to be negotiating a little bit more.
And then what we'll do is what we've done historically. If it's a concern, if it's on the bubble, she can get in contact with me and we can
I think
disseminate the information and make a decision.
We'll try and give you the best price,
okay.
State rate.
I don't know that we've ever worried about that with
email. Okay.
All right, and that would conclude the training report.
Okay.
So then we'll move on to the UPAA report. Haley and Marilyn, show.
We're in Bernal this year, and we have all of our presenters have been confirmed. And we have Bob coming to do the legislative update. Brody Young is Utah State Park Ranger who was shot in 2010. He's coming to present. We're really excited to hear him. And canine dogs are coming. And one of them, it's actually pretty interesting, is the porn.
His name is Earl.
Yeah.
You are, but they pronounce Earl.
Yeah.
And he detects, he detects electronic devices like your laptop or SD cards for pornography and stuff like that. And there's only 12 of those kinds of canine in the country. So it's a real narrow, specialized.
Can you say that again? He does what? It's a
corn dog. That was my handle.
Not a corn dog.
Not a corn dog.
Yeah, they
snap. Like if somebody has a flash drive hidden in the wall.
Okay.
And you're into a child porn
really?
Seizure, this dog can go.
That emits an odor?
I guess.
Yes, it does.
He can sniff them out and he finds them.
Everything smells like something.
Everything smells like
something.
That's pretty profound.
I think
an electronic devices detection dog.
that's yeah. Yeah. That's better.
So the poor
dog is going to raise every time.
No. That's our agenda.
Really?
That signature is really
good. That's good. Helps you decide what's obscene and not obscene. That's great.
They will have the regular canine. UN County is going to bring their canine dogs. And then the United States Humane Society contacted me, and they're going to come out and talk to us about.
On their own dime?
On their own dime. They're a cheap date. It's really great. Let me see. They're going to touch us about animal abuse and violent crime. So how animal abuse kind of, you know, correlates with DV cases and things like that. But they'll talk about dog fighting and you know, stuff like that. I just warned her to please don't bring any really gory abused dogs. You know, we're all dog lovers or animal lovers, and we just cannot handle that. So they're coming on their a cheap date. Actually, Brody is going to be the expensive one. And he's local. He is on the speaking circuit, by the way, if you have heard of his case. And he's done so much national speaking about what happened to him that he's had to get a handler. And the only way I was able to get or contact him, well, Haley helped me do that, was on the internet. And his handler goes, you just go through him. We haven't even spoken to him. But he has gone out so much and spoken about his case that he was taking time off, using his own money, you know, going to these different places out of the goodness of his heart, that it was, you know, at the end of the day, he's just a state park ranger. He was using up all his time, his family, they were having to support him to go and do a speaking. So he has a really good handler that really works good for him, and he's what
and compared to our other presenters, he's actually really, really cheap.
Yeah. Normally he's $2,500. We got him for less, way less than that, so should be really good. So it's a good agenda. It's CLE approved, so if you are missing out on CLE, it's 12 hours. So come on up to Vernal.
Marilyn, how many have you had signed up so far?
Right now we have like 45, and that was before the agenda went out. So it's being really well received. I was kind of worried that because it was in Vernal, everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid that I drink, and so it's going to be a really good time.
How many do you need to kind of, what's your break-even point?
We have always had 75, 80. Last year we had 105. So, and the AG is going to be sending theirs, which I'm really happy about. We have not had that kind of representation from the AG's office. So I really appreciate Greg for supporting us and sending people from the AG's office. So.
That convention center took such good care of us out there. I think if people knew how good they fed us on our snack breaks and just how classy the whole operation was.
Well, they've already told Maryland they're going to outdo the food this year.
They're coming back. Really? And all I said was, look, all I need is a bagel and some drinks.
They bring this. And gravy.
He told me that they have a new biscuit for the biscuit and gravy breakfast. So. There's no talking him out of it, but I have an invoice already, and so whatever he brings.
The people who have classes out there,
they won't need to eat at the hotel, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So anyway,
all right.
It's going to be a good conference. We're excited.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tyson?
I have a very detailed report in your material, so I won't talk a lot about that stuff. I will say that in March I did have my highest requests for technical assistance that I've had since I've been here, 68, which a lot of those are somebody sends me an email or a call and I can just answer immediately, but as you know, not all of them are that way. So that kept me very busy doing those things. And that's probably what I value most in my job is being able to help people put out fires when those things come out. And so I'm encourage your offices, if there's anything DUI related that you have a question on, please feel free to reach out to me, because that's what I do. I do have one question for the council, just in regards, I was talking with my grant manager yesterday, and I have a goal to start bringing in some of our, and we've had these before, like prosecuting the drug driver, the lethal weapon type courses, probably not every year, but try to get on an every other year type basis where we bring these people in. Is that something you want for your prosecutors? Are these classes that you think would be beneficial? I mean, we're only talking maybe 15, 20 people tops would attend, because these are trial advocacy-based courses. This isn't just a regular conference. Would be more like the format of our basic prosecutor and train-the-trainer type courses where we invite specific people to come in. I can ask for grant funds to bring those things in, and so is that something that you want to see going on in the state on a semi-regular basis? It's something that my grant, the Utah Highway Safety Office, is very open to and asking for more money if you think it's a good use of our time. If you feel it would be beneficial. Because it will be a lot of work, and so if we don't want it, then might as well not put the effort in that it's going to take to bring it in.
It probably affects UPA more, but I imagine for me, yeah, it's in our Justice Court prosecutors.
Well, and the, what really was the impetus for me behind this is we've had such a huge spike in drug-related DUI crashes and fatalities in Utah. We're up from 2014 to 15, which is the latest data we have. We're up 119% in DUI drug-related crashes and 76% in DUI drug-related fatalities just in 1 year, which is huge. The Governor Highway Safety Council, whatever association, I don't know exactly what it is, just came out with an article yesterday encouraging states to really up their focus on DUI drug-related issues, just because this is starting to be such a big issue all around the country. We had almost double the amount of DUI drug-related fatalities in 2015 as we did alcohol. And so this is a big deal.
Is that in Utah?
Yeah, that's just in Utah.
Is there any correlation with lower, the fact that we've lowered the offenses? Or is there, what is the explanation of such a dramatic
reclassification?
That would be interesting to see.
Because, I mean, is it poor prosecution? Are we not effective prosecuting these cases?
Well, I think that we've seen a large spike in drug use all across the country. I think that's not just a Utah problem.
Any idea of when you talk about the drug-impaired driver, what kind of drugs are on board? Is it marijuana?
Marijuana is the highest, and it's almost double meth, which is second. Meth is second, and marijuana.
Do you know if those are Utah residents, or they're from Colorado, or some neighboring state where it's legal?
I don't know.
Or they're traveling through?
I would assume that the majority of them are Utah residents, but that's just an assumption. I mean, I could probably get that information
Is it metabolite, or is it active THC, and to what level? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you can do metabolite.
This is one of the things with drug DUIs that we have to be careful about, because we can't talk about drugs the same way we do alcohol, where we know that at certain levels people are impaired, whereas with drugs there's no threshold level where people are generally impaired, and so they just say that drugs were present, and so it's difficult to say that
Greg's point, though, because under our state statute, right, we can do it under the metabolite.
Yep.
And if you have a crash and you do a blood test on somebody and they've got a metabolite in there, we're going to classify it as a drug related thing, but it may be in the metabolite, not on the impairment component of that of that prompt.
Certainly, that's a possibility.
So you know.
And another thing that's hard is, you know, as we know, the data that comes out is only as good as the data that's put in, and we don't get all the data that's put in. Another thing that's hard is some of these, even alcohol fatalities, probably have drugs on board, but our state toxicology lab's policy is that if they do a blood test and the person comes over in 08, they don't test for drugs.
Yeah.
They stop at that point, unless
they
go back
and I think
and
you're
ask.
Right. If you were to do that, I think you would
probably get a lot more drugs.
Yeah, you probably would.
The polydrugs.
And I think the training that's really necessary is not necessarily on the metabolite. It's really on the DRE side.
Yep.
Of that drug impairment component, right? Because
yep.
I think that's something that younger attorneys don't really get the experience. We can get them up to speed on the classic DUI prosecution, but it is also sort of that cultural change in law enforcement for the DRE component of it, to make sure that they have enough qualified people.